Chapter 2, Act 1, Scene 1. Before them, the scene unfolded. Five men sat around a heavy wooden table at the center of the stage. The walls of the set were paneled with rough, weathered wood, with small, dusty windows flanking either side. In the center, looming over them all, hung a great wooden cross, dark against the backdrop. The men's costumes were impeccable. They were almost unsettlingly so. They wore thick wool coats in drab browns and washed-out blues, linen shirts peeking from beneath the collars. A few of them sported tri-cornered hats perched atop their heads, casting deep shadows over their eyes. Ben leaned close to Annie, lowering his voice to a whisper. "The costumes, they're incredible," he said, half in awe, half in fear. "They look real." He barely had time to finish the thought before one of the men at the table straightened his chair, cleared his throat, and began to speak.
"Let us begin. Yes, let us begin," he said, forcing a smile. "A fine morning, gentlemen. Another fine day it shall be."
He paused to open the heavy ledger before him.
"This morning we discussed matters of town and coin. We have much to address, so let's get started."
He dipped his quill in ink and began to write as he spoke.
"Joining us today, Jonathan Buck, town founder. Arthur King, secretary. Samuel Lawrence, general store operator. Daniel McDonald, tax collector."
Arthur glanced up briefly, then scribbled again.
"And Alexander Bishop, sawmill operator."
Alexander, a lanky man with a quick smile, leaned back in his chair and said with a flourish,
"It was my plans that built the mill as well. Surely you ought to take a note of such a thing in your fine ledger."
Arthur sighed deeply, the sound echoing off the bare walls.
"Yes, yes,"
he muttered, writing with exaggerated strokes.
"His plans built the mill as well. Does that appease your immense ego?"
Alexander grinned, pleased.
"Yes, it does, good sir."
Arthur snapped the ledger shut.
"Moving forward, Daniel, what do you have to say of taxes?"
Daniel, a heavyset man with a face perpetually twisted into a frown, leaned forward, his fingers drumming against the tabletop.
"The British still demand hard-earned coin from men across all the colonies, and our bounty of lumber for their damned ships. It's enough to drive a man mad."
Samuel nodded, his expression grim.
"It falls upon trade from surrounding plantations. Some have taken to accepting only British pounds to avoid the worst of the taxation. Perhaps we ought to commit ourselves to a similar resolve."
Daniel's fists clenched.
"Would you so easily turn over while the monarch continues to oppress us? I, for one, am sick of it. Something must be done."
"Enough of this,"
Arthur interrupted sharply. He turned toward the head of the table, where Colonel Jonathan Buck sat in silence, his arms folded across his chest.
"Colonel Buck, you have been silent. What would you say of this?"
Buck took a slow breath before speaking, his deep voice and steady.
"Our resolve, Samuel, will be to remain steadfast. There is no need to stray from the course. Our lumber plantation is tantamount to our freedom. One day we shall stand on high and bring our glory to the sight of our Lord."
He pointed across the table.
"You, Alexander, Colonel,"
the sawmill operator reminded him quickly.
"Yes, Alexander."
Buck's stare was cold.
"What do you say about increased production?"
Alexander shrugged, a wry smile curling his lips.
"I say it's possible. Possible as me growing a curly little tail and hollering wee 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 all the way home."
He glanced around the room, clearly hoping for a laugh. Samuel choked back a chuckle. Arthur shifted uncomfortably, pretending to examine his paperwork. Buck slammed his hand under the table with a sharp crack. Damn it, you ass!
I did not ask for the idle humor of a dolt. What do you mean, you fool? I have little patience for this.
He straightened his shoulders, gathering himself.
I ask again, what do you say about increased production?
Alexander's smile faded. He ran a hand through his hair and said,
We don't have enough men to increase production at this time. The ones we do have complain now of unfair wages and miserable conditions. They're tired, sir. Speak of an increase, and they'll drown me in the river.
Buck leaned forward, his voice low and dangerous.
I'm sure the men will do as they're told. If not, I shall reason with them face to face. We must keep the mills running. For the sake of our new country, and for our dear lord.
Alexander swallowed hard and bowed his head slightly.
As you say, Colonel.
Buck turned his gaze to Samuel.
Samuel, what of the store?
Samuel, looking startled to be addressed, shifted in his seat.
Yes. New faces have appeared of late. I would guess 10 new families since the spring. Many bloom over our great port. Some have spoken of a new arrival, a woman and her boy. She is without husband, they say. She has coin to spend and rents a worker's cabin at the edge of the plantation. She affords the monthly fee, but there is much mystery surrounding her and the boy. Peculiar, both of them.
Alexander spoke, his voice hushed.
I encountered that boy of hers a few days ago. He was walking alone, speaking aloud, as though holding a serious conversation. Yet no one was with him. A shadow seemed to hang about him.
Samuel quickly added,
The woman, Eliza, I believe her name is, buys all the candles in the store. An unusual quantity. I dare say candles for dark rituals.
Alexander nodded grimly.
I've heard candles are used to cast spells. Best not keep selling to her if you ask me.
Buck rubbed his jaw thoughtfully, the room sinking into a heavy silence.
Keep a watchful eye on this woman,
he finally ordered.
And open your ears to her comings and goings. I myself have noticed a quiet change in the air. It makes me uneasy.
The men exchanged nervous glances, but no one dared to speak. At length, Arthur cleared his throat again.
Shall we move on, sir?
Buck nodded.
There will be no increase to taxes at this time. Increased lumber production will maximize our margins. We will see the ledgers rise in time. Let's not waste more words. There is more to be done today.
The men rose stiffly from their chairs and filed out, their boots creaking against the wooden floor. The hall emptied, leaving only silence. Then the lights, both real and imagined, seemed to flicker. Shadows rippled along the walls. From the far corner, a figure emerged, cloaked entirely in black. Its face was hidden beneath a dark mask, and it moved with a slow, almost reverent purpose. It drifted to the meeting table, sniffing at the objects the men had left behind. The inkpots, the papers, the ledger. The figure straightened, and with a voice like a child's rhyme twisted through a nightmare, it spoke.
There was a crooked man, and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house.
It tilted its head slowly, almost curiously, toward the empty seats.
Please,
it whispered.
Enjoy our show and beware of crooked men.
Without warning, the stage was plunged into darkness.